Good morning again. We are continuing out of Romans chapter 12. That single phrase that Paul drops in there, to be devoted to prayer. And it's worth keeping in mind what the context is here. That as we're being commanded to be devoted to prayer, this is in the context that we're being called as living sacrifices. We're being called to bring our whole lives to God. And within that context to bring our whole lives to God, we've also been challenged to bring our minds for transformation and renewal. And as we've already talked about, that our goal here is that you and I keep maturing. We keep growing up to think like God. We keep growing up to think like our Heavenly Father. And that in the context, he's saying, now, if you're going to think like me, if you're going to be like me, if you're going to be devoted to the things I care about and that I have a passion for, then I'm calling you to be devoted to prayer. And as we talked about last week, continuing, that word devoted means that there is a passionate commitment. There's a loyalty to prayer. There is a consistent attention to prayer. And then from there, we looked at Matthew chapter 6. And when Larry was reading Matthew chapter 6 last week, I enjoyed the fact that when he got to verse 9 and was now saying the Lord's Prayer, that without any request or announcement or requirement, that the congregation here, we just started praying the prayer and reading it out loud with him. And I think that's wise. I think that's good mindset. That's good practice that we recognize this isn't something for someone to read to me. This is something for me to be speaking back to the Father. And that when Jesus taught this, he wasn't teaching a ritual. And we'll keep looking at that. Jesus was not teaching us a routine so that now we say, well, I just say that prayer. In fact, it's interesting because just a few verses before Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, just a few verses before he said that, he said, don't be like the Gentiles who do mindless repetition. Now, here's the cool thing. He doesn't say, I can't do repetition. Just not meaningless repetition. Not mindless repetition, not repetition without heart and intimacy and relationship. So I know a number of believers through the years that they literally have memorized and pray that prayer every day. Our Father who art in heaven, all the way through. That's a wise practice. If it's a father-son, father-daughter love conversation, and each word is chosen in agreement with what it really means for the relationship. Now, as we're looking at this, and we again, it's this transformation and renewal that we're learning to think like sons and daughters of God. And there's something, I want to repeat this if I can remember toward the end of the sermon and bring it back to your attention, but that we start to see prayer as the daily acknowledgement, the daily choice, and the daily evidence that I am in a faith relationship with God. You notice that often I write like I talk. I write a letter that's further in the Word, and then I have to go back and fill in missing letters. That this prayer is an acknowledgement that I'm in a faith relationship with God. If Christianity is simply a religion, if Christianity is simply a philosophy and a set of rules and a set of behaviors, a set of cultural things I take on for my life, I don't need prayer. I don't need to be talking to God. But if I'm actually in a relationship of dependence, where I recognize everything I need flows from the Father, then prayer makes sense as an act of dependence and faith and trust. And that takes us to the next part in Matthew 6, verse 11. So we looked at verse 9 and 10 where he says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we looked at that in terms of both worship, adoration, but also submission and surrender. And then he gets to verse 11 where he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Such a simple request. And this request is full of meaning. And again, that we're not just memorizing a phrase. We're not just learning to say a phrase back at God in prayer. But that you and I keep maturing in why Jesus included this phrase in this prayer and how it changes our mindset, how our way of thinking is renewed. Now, the people Jesus was talking to, the vast majority of people, not all, but the vast majority of people that Jesus was teaching were laboring for their own bread. The vast majority of you and I are laboring for our own bread. So in the natural course of events, it would appear that I don't need to ask God for anything. If I just work hard, or even if I just barely work, or if I know somebody who's willing to work and share it with me, one way or another, the fact that I'm probably going to have enough bread for the day, for the vast majority of you here and the vast majority of people that Jesus was speaking to, that was a predictable certainty to their day. So why is Jesus saying, now ask the Father? And if you have Matthew 6 in front of you, look at verse 8. Which we touched on last week when we talked about the fact that Jesus is still the one teaching us to pray. When Jesus says in verse 8, "Your Father already knows what you need before you even ask Him." Your Father already knows. So that's 6:8, Matthew 6:8. He already knows. But then he also says the same thing in verse 32. Look over there where he says, let's start in 31. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So verse 32 again is reiterating, God already knows what you need. And then in verse 33 he adds, that if you're just putting God first, if you're just pursuing Him, it's already a certainty that God's going to provide what you need. So three times in this passage, Jesus himself, while he's teaching us to ask for our daily bread, is already saying this is something the Father already knows about. And if you go to...
Wow.
Who was asleep and isn't now? If you go to Psalm 139, let's flip over there for a second. And some of you know this is my favorite psalm, but that's not why we're quoting from it. It just happens to be so. But in verse 16 he says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you." So that even in the Old Testament, God is saying, you know what? I already know. I already know, and I already plan to meet those needs.
Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 3 and 4, God tells us this through Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, that phrase, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, one of the things that is not clear sometimes in the English, and particularly the way verses are chopped up, is that he's saying, blessed us with all those blessings, like choosing to have us be holy and blameless before him, that he did both of those things before the foundations of the earth. So that again, God is saying to you personally, please think about how this applies to your life. He's saying, before you were born, I knew all the days of your life. Before I even created the planet, I thought about what you would need. And in the spiritual realm, where over and over again in Scripture it says that here's where things are done and decided that apply to our lives, that in the spiritual realm, I have already decreed and prepared every blessing you're going to need. So this goes way beyond simply bread. This goes way beyond simply sustenance, simply house and clothing and food. That he's saying, I see your whole life. I see what relationship challenges you're going to have. I see where you're going to lack wisdom. I see where you're going to come up short of understanding, of knowing my will and needing that wisdom to move forward for the next step in your life. I already see how you're going to be faced with the enemy's attacks. I already see how he's going to set you up to fail. I already see how 1,000 voices in your head out of your past, and I was there for every moment of that past when those lies were planted, how the enemy will try to speak all those lies against you in a moment of choice for discouragement or for defeat. I already see that moment, and I'm promising you I'm ready for that moment. So that when we're praying this, Father, give us this day our daily bread, that we're acknowledging total need and total dependence. Everything about my life, I need God involved in. And this goes way larger than we normally think of it. This gets to be part of this transforming and renewing the mind that we're growing. I need God, I personally need God involved in every single area of my life. I had a couple I'm working with, and the wife texted me and said, oh my gosh, we need an emergency session. I don't even know what it was about. Because before we got to scheduling the emergency session, she just said, I prayed. Resolved. And she also said, lesson learned. I forgot to go talk to the Father first. That somehow she got in a panic, and I don't even know what it was about. And she didn't go to the Father first, but then somehow he got her attention. And she went into his presence, and actually, this is part of it, part of what I know, is because her daily morning habit is to go into the Father's presence in prayer. And so whatever she was panicking over, whatever she was concerned over, and whatever she started to launch a plan for, she realized, I did all that first before talking to my Father. Now I've talked to my Father. We don't need to worry about the emergency session, Reg. Now, there are times when I still expect that I will get calls for emergency sessions. But that also may be part of God's answer to a prayer sometime. But that your recognition is God's saying, you know what, as soon as you have a need, I don't care what area it's in, you should already be talking to me about it. Are you facing a need at work? And as Chris was already sharing, on Monday mornings, some of the guys are getting together to pray for work. And some who already have work are praying for provision through that work. They're doing this. They're saying, Father, give us this day our daily bread. And they're gathering with other men to pray for productivity and purpose through that work. Some of you are facing challenges in your families. And that gets to be absolutely included under this provision and under this daily need. Father, I need spiritual blessings provided for how I deal with my family. My wife's heart is broken. My husband is struggling. My children are facing deep, damaging temptation. My parents are discouraged and fighting, and their marriage looks like it could break up. Father, whatever my family's going through, Father, whatever my friends are going through, I know someone who loves you and trusts you, but they're weak and they're struggling and they're discouraged. Father, what role do I play in that? That God's saying, bring me that need. I don't want you laying in bed at night worrying about it. In fact, that's one of the things Jesus says more than once in this passage. Stop worrying about stuff when you have a father to talk to. Boy, is that easy to say. And Jesus said it anyway. Because he's wanting us to get this mindset, this renewal of thinking that means I never have a reason to worry longer than it takes me to realize, oh, I'm supposed to be talking to you about this, Father. So I'm going to take this worry and now I'm going to translate it into a father-son, father-daughter request. When Tim read the passage this morning in Hebrews 6, go there for a second. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 6, we'll talk about it. Hebrews 4. And it ends with this. We do not have a high priest, in verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that recognition, that time of need, is daily. And that's the renewal that you're thinking. Now, some of you are very intelligent. Some of you are really handsome or gorgeous. Some of you are really well off financially. Can I keep going? Some of you, in a sense, are well equipped for the self-deception of self-reliance. Some of us are well equipped to fool ourselves to think, well, in this area, I don't need much. Father, look at my bank account. I don't need to pray for daily bread. I can pray for good looks, but Father, my bank account is packed. I don't need you right now. I don't need your blessing in that area. And part of our wisdom and part of why Jesus wisely put this, give us this day our daily bread, into prayer for the whole body of Christ. Jesus, already knowing that there would be many wealthy in the body of Christ, many who are very financially comfortable or comfortable in resources. And he was saying, every single one of you are still dependent children. Every single one of you could start out the day thinking you have enough, and by that night, it could be wiped out. And history is full of those events. Full of those events. And just like Jesus, when he was talking about the rich man who said, man, I got to tear down my barns and silos because I've got so much stuff. I need to go down to Bob's storage, and I need to go down to U-Haul, and I need to rent a bunch of places to store all my extra stuff. And Jesus says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. So I have no guarantees how today will end. My stuff could be gone or I could be gone. And all I will be left with is the relationship of faith. That's all I will be left with. Father, I started with plenty. Today I ended with nothing. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And here's this majestic passage. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Why should I bless him if he allowed all my stuff to be taken away? Because he's my faithful Father. He's my faithful Father. And see, we know that doctrinally, but one thing I know is that God's heart desires that we get that way deeper and stronger and more intimately than any of us have gotten it yet. He is our faithful Father. In Philippians 4, we won't go there right now, but in Philippians 4, he says this, you know, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's that, I'll have to look up the specific verse. It's that thanksgiving part that is about the part, Gosh, that's such a difficult word to spell. Thanksgiving. And that's only possible because I have a faithful Father. So that the second you and I ask, and we've talked about this before, but it needs to change, keep changing our thinking. You know, when we were praying this morning, so we shared prayer requests, and it was amazing because we're praying, this little small group of to use Chris's words, down in the sticks Christians, this little group of believers way out in the boonies, we're praying for God to work in Honduras. And things will be different because we prayed. We're praying for people we don't even know personally in Germany. We're praying for other people that we know and love in China. We're praying for other people that we know and love around the world. We're praying for other men and women we know and children we know that are facing some challenge in different parts of the United States. All over the planet, this gathering of the body of Christ has authority to touch the heart of God and for things to happen that wouldn't have happened if we weren't faithful in prayer. That's hard to conceive of, but it's true. Where he's saying, I'm a faithful Father, and guess what? I didn't leave you down there in the gutter. I raised you up. I made you alive when you were dead. I made you alive when you were dead. And then I seated you in Christ at my right hand, and I covered you with the mantle of my authority. And I've done this so that you will exercise this authority. And one of the things I have to confess is, man, just doing this study this week, I realize how much more God is calling me to prayer than I'm used to. He wants me to mess with my schedule to pray more. He wants me to mess with my convenience to pray more. And the reason isn't because he needs me to be a little bit more of a holy-looking guy, not even just alone for him. That is not the reason. It's because he's delegated to me authority to get things done in the kingdom on this planet, and he's delegated to you power and authority to get things done on this planet. And here's an important word. Us. So when I'm in before God in supplication, Jesus did not teach me to say, give me my daily bread. That is not the lesson he's teaching. Father, everyone that you've put in my circle of care, I'm here in prayer and supplication for their needs as well. For their time of testing, for their provision, for their sustenance, for their work, for their finances, for their health, for their testing in the face of the enemy's temptation, for their ability to touch people around them for the kingdom for eternity. Father, I'm supposed to pray for us. And when we share this, when we share every Sunday morning, I know I've said this before, I hope that you don't just go into audience mode while people are sharing prayer requests. I hope you don't just sort of check out and say, well, okay, they're going to talk, and then Bob Schmuckatelli is going to get up and he's going to pray for them. So that's all covered. And I'll just wait till we get back to the good music that Stephen has picked out for us. But that we recognize, you know what? This is my calling too. I have authority and power. And you know what? I can be realistic about this. I probably can't pray for everybody I know every week. I can't even do that. But there is a handful of people every week that God genuinely has commissioned me to pray for. Will be a handful of people every week that God has commissioned you to pray for. And that in our time of sharing, again, it's not who comes up here to pray. It's the body of Christ saying, I'm going to take that seriously. So yes, the person up here is really praying. I'm not dismissing that. They really are interceding with effectiveness. But the follow-on effectiveness is that we be praying for that. And that might mean you just pick out two or three people out of all the things that were shared. You absolutely give consistent, passionate, loyal commitment and attention to start praying for those people, starting at the very moment you heard their request. That you let your spirit, as soon as we say, okay, time for praise and prayer, that you and I would go into participation mode with the Father. We'd go into authority mode, seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, that would be the renewal of our mind. That, Father, this isn't a time when we're just going to do our prayer routine. Father, I'm on task with you. I'm in agreement with you. Father, help me to listen. Who are the ones you want laid on my heart and my list? So that you and I really take with power and authority and passion and with joy. There will be things, and boy, is this going to be truer than we understand. You and I will be blown away. You and I will be amazed. You and I will be humble and awed and thankful when we stand in God's presence and He shows us what He accomplished through our prayers. And I know one thing that's going to happen. I know one thing that's going to happen. That God's going to say, and here's what I did with that prayer. And I'm going to go, really? That prayer? I was just sort of like saying it. I mean, I knew you could, but I was sort of... It goes, I honored it anyway, O ye of little faith. I honored it anyway. So you and I are called to faithfulness before a faithful God who goes way beyond all that we ask or think. He doesn't say that about himself because he was just poetically exaggerating. God was revealing something to you and revealing something to me about his faithful character. So that when you and I pray, I know this. I felt this way. I know that some of you felt this way because some of you have told it. And I know a bunch of you have felt this way, even if you haven't said it. Times when we feel like, well, I'm praying. What difference does it make? I feel like I'm talking to the ceiling. Okay, God, here goes anyway. And the here goes anyway pleases him. You need to know that. The here goes anyway pleases him. That you would say, Father, you've called me to pray. I'm going to step in your presence and I'm going to exercise my authority. Because that feeling that my prayers don't matter is a lie based on limited vision. It's a lie based on limited vision. And faith sees beyond vision. This is not about sight. This is about his character and his faithfulness. So that when you pray for your daily bread this week, or my name comes to mind and you pray for my daily bread, or somebody else's name comes to mind and you pray for theirs and they pray for yours, that we would be acknowledging this. Father, you're going to do something with this. But here's the deal, Father. I want to start saying thank you now because you're actually going to be doing something larger, deeper, and stronger than what I'm praying for. I'm praying for my kid to be rescued from drugs. I'm praying for my grandma to receive Jesus Christ. I'm praying for those parents to be able to regain custody of their children. I'm praying for these things, Father, but I want to acknowledge this. Your purposes are larger than my request. So I want to thank you ahead of time for your larger purposes being accomplished. You know, even when we're thinking, what's larger than praying for somebody's salvation? That's like the largest thing I could pray for somebody. And then for the Holy Spirit to work and convict them, and they actually get to that point and they say yes. And I remember Carrie, when my wife Carrie first accepted Christ, years and years and years ago. I had met her. I thought she was married at the time, which probably helped us to start out on a friendship basis, but it was just her brother who doesn't look anything like her. And so I had just barely gotten to know this girl, and she went to an Andre Crouch concert. Does anybody remember Andre Crouch? Yes. Okay. Back in the old days. And at that concert, she heard the gospel presented clearly one more time. And at the age of 20, she asked Jesus into her heart and became a believer. And then a little while later, because she was now in the kingdom, she started praying for her cousins. And over the next few months, two or three of her cousins accepted Christ. And then we and all those cousins started praying for other relatives. And a few years later, her grandmother, who hated religion and said so vehemently, prayed to receive Jesus Christ before she died. And that ripple is continuing. That ripple is continuing. That God touched Chemo, her brother, and God touched Carrie. And then through their prayers, he launched an invasion of enemy territory to rescue many that he loved. And that was because somewhere back there, I don't even know who. See, I didn't even know she wasn't a believer. I wasn't praying for her. I can't take credit for any part of that. Other people were praying for her, but somebody was praying for her. Somebody was already on task and called to mission and faithful to that calling and mission was praying for her. And the Holy Spirit, who loved her already, he didn't start to love her because of prayer, but he commissioned a believer to be a part of the process. And she accepted Christ, and then that ripple went through her family up to today, 37, 38 years later. That is still rippling through her family. That's a larger answer than someone's original request. Our Father is faithful. Ask large, but always remember, he really is going to do more than you're asking. He can't help it. It's his character. He can't help it. It's his character. It's who he is. It's his essence. And there may be plenty of times I'm disappointed in God because I prayed for this focus and that focus didn't happen. But my prayers are not void and worthless before God because that thing didn't happen. That if I have really asked, if I have desired his will to be accomplished, if I have really chosen a relationship of faith and dependence on his power, it is an absolute certainty that God is going to take that prayer and make it profitable in ways that will blow my mind when I stand in his presence one day and when you stand in his presence one day. You will be amazed. I'm not saying this because I'm knowledgeable. This is because of what shows through of the character of God and his word. You are going to be amazed at what God did with your simple prayers. And we should start praising him and thanking him now. But we also get to keep growing this mindset that, Father, I want to be wiser about my dependence today than I was yesterday. I want to be wiser about this daily requesting of my needs and the needs of those you've put in my circle of care. Because you're going to do even larger things than I've asked. You're my faithful Father. Let's pray. Father, it really is true that when we pray, we are the living evidence of a faith relationship, a trust relationship, a love relationship with a faithful and loving Father. Father, help us to take advantage, full advantage, of this incredible privilege that we bring our needs, we bring our requests. You've promised to meet our needs already. You say you already know our needs, and you've known them forever. And yet we're still called to ask, Father, because you want us to know who we depend on and who we thank. So, Father, we want to look ahead right now. Every one of us, Father, as we sit with our hearts lifted to you, Father, we want to acknowledge that we depend on you for everything we're going to need this day. Everything we're going to need this week. Father, no matter what we think we already have, we depend on you for every bite of food, for a house to live in, for clothing to wear, for strength when we're weak, for wisdom when we're foolish, for truth when we're ignorant, for power and authority when we're being opposed and we're in battle. Father, everything we're going to need, we want to look you in the face and say, we need it from you. Please, Father, please give us this day our daily bread and help us to remember who provided it. No matter what its method of delivery, help us to remember who provided it. Father, I pray that your Spirit would keep maturing me and maturing each one of us in our conversation with you. That we would be bolder in asking for your provision and the needs of those around us. That we would be thanking you that your prayer, your response to our prayers will go beyond the boundaries of what we thought. That you will never be content with a small outcome. That even when we're heartbroken over what we have faced, Father, you, the loving Father, you're aiming for something larger. And we want to praise you for that and thank you for that. Father, I thank you for everything you've already done in this body. Father, I thank you that this is a body of brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who already pray for each other. Father, thank you for that. That we're not starting from zero. We're not starting from square one. That you've already taught us and brought us along. But Father, I pray that no matter how far you've brought us, that we would be very humble and acknowledging. We need to go further. We get to go further. You call us to more and you give us the power and authority for more. So Father, I pray for this body of believers that we would be a powerful weapon in the hands of a living God to accomplish victory for your kingdom, to defeat the enemy. That we would be a wonderful breadbasket in your hands to really feed starving hearts, starving spirits, and sometimes, Father, starving bellies. Father, that we would be powerful, a powerful tool in your hands to build things in your kingdom, to build lives, to build disciples, to build marriages and families. Father, all these things accomplish through prayer. Thank you for calling us into this. Thank you for equipping us for this. In Jesus' name, amen.